I'm going to read you a story. "I'm not going," Matthew insisted. "And that's all there is to it." "But it's only a boat ride," said James. "And it's only just across the lake," added John. "But I think he's a chicken," sniggered Andrew. "Ruck, muck, 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 muck," clucked Peter. "All right, I admit it, I am scared," Matthew shrugged. "And you're not. But that's only because you were fishermen before you met Jesus. You know I was a tax collector who spent all of his time on land. So it's no use poking fun at me. You've travelled in boats all your lives, and I can't even swim," said Matthew. "So what are you going to do then?" asked Andrew. "Jesus told us to meet him on the other side of the lake." "Well, I'll wait and go with him," said Matthew. "How do you suppose he'll get there?" asked Peter. "Well, maybe he'll walk," Matthew answered. "What, along the shore?" snorted Peter. "That would take ages, and he told us he'd see us there in the morning." "Jesus will obviously have to travel in another boat," James explained, "which means that if you wait for him, you'll end up in a boat anyway, Matthew. So why not just come with us?" Matthew sighed. James had a point, they all did, and there was no use arguing any longer. "All right," he agreed at last, "but try to keep it smooth." "Keep it smooth?" Peter chuckled to Andrew. "He's definitely never been on a boat before." Matthew hiked up his robes and stepped gingerly from the shore into the boat. It rocked ever so slightly, but that was enough to send him trembling to the floor, planting his bottom firmly on the nearest seat and hanging on to the side of the boat for dear life. Some more of Jesus' friends followed, but the four fishermen plunged straight into the lake. They pushed out the boat until it was fully afloat and hopped in, soaking wet, beside their frightened friend. "See?" said Peter, slapping Matthew on the back with a big, wet hand. "We're safe as houses." "Yeah," muttered Matthew, "soggy, dripping houses." And the four fishermen just laughed and started to row. So Matthew was afraid, just like we are often afraid of things. Let's see what happened next. Matthew watched the sky grow dark and the shoreline slowly disappear. He was trying to look calm, but inside his head a voice was shouting, "What if we tip over? What if I fall out? Let's go back. Let's go back now. Turn the boat around, please." He knew that wasn't going to happen, of course. Not while the others were laughing and talking and having such a good time. And besides, he didn't want them making fun of him anymore. "Enjoying the ride?" asked James. "Not so bad, is it?" added John. "I think he's going to be sick," sniggered Andrew. And Peter just laughed and made a disgusting noise again. "No, I'm fine. Just fine," Matthew said, forcing a weak smile. But he wasn't fine for long. The wind began to pick up, and the choppy waves that followed tossed the little boat up and down on the lake. Matthew shut his eyes and held on even tighter. That voice in his head was screaming now, and Matthew was about to scream as well when a big wave washed into the boat and knocked him clean off his seat and onto the floor. Now, obviously, that's a little bit of a paraphrase of the Bible. We don't know that all those things were said, although I can't believe that amongst 12 men, some of whom had very different sort of experiences of life before meeting Jesus, that there wasn't a bit of cajoling and a bit of, you know, pulling each other's legs. We even have, don't we, those words where two of the disciples came and said, "We want to be the ones that sit at your right hand when you get to, when the kingdom comes." So there was definitely some pushing and some, you know, playing for position amongst the disciples. That idea there, the idea that some of the disciples perhaps would have a go at some others and be a bit insensitive about their fears and their concerns, we just want to focus on that for a few moments this morning. Part three of our story from this paraphrase of the Bible story. It's taken from John chapter 6, actually, having sensitivity to others' fears. Matthew opened his eyes, searched for something to hang on to. He was soaking wet. So were his friends, and the sky and the sea looked like some great dark beast intent on swallowing them all whole. Surely, he thought, these fishermen will be frightened now. But no, they were talking and rowing and remembering storms they had sailed through in days gone by. Huh, this is nothing compared to the one we got caught in 2 years ago, shouted James. Yeah, 20-foot waves, shouted John over the noise. We thought we'd had it, didn't we, Peter? Called Andrew. But Peter said nothing. He didn't laugh, he didn't chuckle, he didn't joke. And he had stopped rowing altogether. What's the matter? Shouted James. There's something out there, said Peter. Something on the water. And the wind whipped his trembling words right around the boat. Something out there, shouted James. Come on, you're having us on. Come on, Peter, let it go. Poor Matthew's already terrified. Leave him alone. I'm not joking, shouted Peter back. And his voice sounded terrified too. There is something out there, something I've never seen before. The others peered into the darkness. But darkness was all they could see. Well, maybe it was a flash of lightning, or a seagull, or another boat, suggested John. I've seen lightning, and seagulls, and boats, shouted Peter, and his fear was mixed with anger now, but that's not what's out there. And the lightning really did flash, and then everyone shouted and screamed, because everyone saw it, a tall white figure walking through the waves. It's a ghost, shouted James. It's an evil spirit, surely, added John. And it's coming straight towards us, said Andrew. We've got to get out of here, yelled Peter, and he grabbed his oar and he pulled with all his might. And they all did. But no matter how hard the fisherman rowed, the ghost on the water kept up with the boat. The lightning flashed and tracked its ghoulish course. It looked as if there was nothing they could do to escape. And that's when Matthew shouted, stop! But now his voice didn't sound frightened or terrified. Are you mad? Shouted James. He's crackers, shouted John. Keep rowing, Andrew ordered. And Peter just pulled and grunted. No, I mean it, said Matthew. Stop! I know who it is. It's Jesus. And the tall figure in white, as they stopped rowing, walked across the water towards them and said in a loud voice, over the noise of the storm, don't be afraid. It's me. I hope that wasn't too much of a surprise to you that it was Jesus on the water, because we've read that story many times. Sometimes the fact that God is awesome and powerful doesn't necessarily make us feel different about our lives and how we can be the people that God wants us to be. Part four of our story. Jesus has shouted out, don't be afraid, it's me, to everyone in the boat. Then Peter shouted to Jesus, Lord, if it's really you, call me to come out on the water to you. Come on then, cried Jesus. So Peter carefully put his legs out over the side of the boat And he found that he could stand on the water. This is a man who had worked with water all his life. And yet now he found that as he stepped out, he could walk on it. And he did so towards Jesus. And he walked out towards this man who had changed his life. But as he walked, he took his eyes off Jesus and started to listen to the wind blowing around him and started to look at how high the waves were coming up around him. And he found that he was starting to sink into the water. As he took his eyes off Jesus, he was slipping down. He shouted out, "Jesus, save me!" And immediately Jesus came to him and grabbed him by the arm and pulled him up out of the water and said to him, "Peter, why are you so faint-hearted? Why did you doubt?" And then they both got in the boat, and all the disciples worshipped Jesus, saying, "This is it. You're the Son of God for sure." It's easy to be hard on Peter there, isn't it? But he was the one that stepped out of the boat. Everybody else stayed in the boat. He was the one that was prepared to step out. But as we so often discovered with Peter, he was full of good intentions, but would often let himself down later, like he did some months later, where he was stood with that brazier of coals, and he was challenged. "You've got the same accent as that man, Jesus. You are with him." "No, I'm not. No, I don't know him." Peter so often let himself down. But for me, the key point of that story is Peter knew the power of Jesus as he walked towards the water towards him. Peter didn't have a lack of faith in Jesus. He had a lack of faith in what God could do, what Jesus could do in his own life. Can I really follow you through these waters of the storm? Can you do that even in my life? With all of my sins, with all of my mistakes, with all of my weaknesses and limitations? Can Jesus do that? And that's when the grace of Jesus was shown. He didn't say, "Pull yourself together." He pulled Peter up by the arm. And when the storms of life get too much for us, that's when the grace of God doesn't say, "Pull yourself together." Rather, the grace of God pulls us up into God's love and God's mercy and says, "I'm here with you. I'm carrying you through these times." Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you are an awesome God. You can overcome the storms in our lives, or you can help us to have faith within the storms in our lives. Because as has already been said in one of our prayers, in this world you will have trouble. But Jesus said, "Take heart, for I have overcome this world and its powers." Amen.